This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, 7:47 right now. Taking a look at the local business landscape, of course, anything anyone's talking about within corporate Malaysia is the 1MDB case, or the US Department of Justice lawsuit linked to 1MDB. So earlier, Ibrahim, you and I, we gave a kind of a rundown as to all the updates that have happened since the press conference in the US, including some responses and some questions being asked, some trending hashtag Malaysia Official One, and the questions surrounding who that person might be. But now the Prime Minister has come out to respond to questions about this lawsuit, and he has urged the public to respect the judicial process and not jump to conclusions. He said it would be unfair to pass judgment on the individuals identifying the lawsuit just simply for being named in the filing. But also, he has said that he has emphasized the need for good governance within Malaysia.
And Melissa, talking about good governance, you attended a lecture, public lecture yesterday by Terence Gomez, mm-hmm. talking about the GLICs. What are GLICs and what's the difference with GLCs?
Right. So Professor Terence Gomez in UM, he gave a public lecture yesterday titled Who Owns Corporate Malaysia? Very interesting, because one of the things that I learned was the fact that there's very little academic work that goes behind that goes into who owns corporate Malaysia. And this is a really good study. It's funded by IDEAS, the think tank, and they're still looking for more funding. But to answer your question, Julian, GLICs, government-linked investment companies, completely different from that of GLCs, which is government-linked companies. So if you look at GLICs, GLICs, there were seven that was under Terence Gomez's research. The biggest one was MOF Inc., Ministry, mm-hmm. Minister of Finance Inc., right? Ministry of Finance Inc. The second was
Kazan. The very institution that owns 1MDB, actually.
Correct. So that's right at the top. And then there's kind of, it splits into two broad GLIC types. One is tax funded, the other is direct public funding. So there's sovereign investment vehicles, which is tax funded, Kazana, PNB. Then there's the specialized public savings based investment vehicles, which is public funding. Direct public funding, EPF, Co-op, Lembaga Tabung Haji, Angkatan Tentera as yeah. well. So those were the seven that Terence Gomez looked at. And it was really quite fascinating, some of the things that that was highlighted, because we don't really understand the depth and the breadth of the ownership and control that these GLICs have over GLCs in the country. GLCs meaning things like Petronas, Maybank,
even Sime. Some of the listed companies, you know, correct. Like CIMB, which is owned by Kazana.
Can I just mention that of the seven GLICs that I talked about earlier, if you look at ownership between 50 to 100%, GLICs own 148 companies as of 2013. That was where the research stopped.
Yeah, investment estimated to be worth over $1 trillion, trillion ringgit actually. And I think this kind of discussion is very important, because Terence Gomez came up with the conclusion that political patronage has dropped since the 90s, when UMNO people were able to control the economy through their proxies. But today, these GLICs, or the GLCs, mm. are controlled by are not controlled but managed by technocrats, and it gives some kind of comfort that they are managed quite independently.
Yeah. Okay. So based on my conversation with the Minister of Finance too, this work on transferring the move away from the UMNO personalities within these organizations has started with the previous two MK2. Awang Adik Hussein has pushed forward for this move to happen. Husni, the predecessor of the finance minister, has also managed to push this forward. So I guess there has been active measures by the government.
But that's not necessarily a good thing, Ibrahim, because what has happened is that a lot of the control for corporate Malaysia has shifted away from UMNO captains, so big,
proxies,
well-linked businessmen to UMNO. It has shifted away from that to the executive, to the Ministry of Finance, and to the Minister of Finance. And I think one of the things that Terence Gomez has said is that at no point in time have we seen this level of dominance of the Minister of Finance over corporate Malaysia. So the takeaway I took from that public lecture was that the PM cannot be the Minister of Finance. There needs to be two separate entities for checks and balances.
Hence my first question. Why is the Prime Minister the Minister of Finance? Why is the CEO also the CFO? Why is the person responsible for spending, which is the Prime Minister, also responsible for trying to find the money, which is the CFO, which is the Minister of Finance?
So I believe there's history to this, right? Anytime you look at research, you have to go back decades. So with Mahathir, I think he consolidated a lot of the power into the office of the executive, because I think he was just tired of, you know, former Minister of Finances not being on the ball and leakages and all that. But now when it comes to this day and age, what are the checks and balances that we have for the Ministry of Finance and the Minister of Finance?
Also, I think we only have to look at China to see the problems of the so-called state-owned enterprises, and which is a behemoth that China is trying to dismantle. I mean, Malaysia has this our huge version of SOEs. Mm. And this question is very pertinent because the question needs to be asked of whether China is innovative enough to move into a new era. Malaysia is not even where China is in terms of manufacturing might. And we're also talking about transforming ourselves. Does it help that we are so greatly and deeply owned by the executive, by the government?
Can I also add, just, you know, on the flip side, this isn't necessarily a bad thing, because if you look at some of the specialized public savings-based investment vehicles, the EPFs and the QAPs and the Lembaga Tabung Hajis and the Angkatan Tenteras, they have done relatively well. Why? Because we're watching them. They have to report to the public. They need to be transparent. We take a look at our EPF statement at the end of the day. So performance-wise, they've actually done very well. That's not so. In a small way, GLICs can do well given the mandate that they have.
Having said that, they have been implicated though. Lembaga Tabung Haji as well as ILTAT have been mentioned by name in the PAC report to have weak measures, weak corporate governance, particularly when it comes to 1MDB. So even if we know what these countermeasures are, it's still not enough. We need more public transparency in these efforts.
I just have to add also that when it comes to, say, Tabung Haji, right, that falls under the Minister of the Prime Minister's Department in charge of Islamic Affairs, which you interviewed, Ibrahim. Again, consolidation into the executive, right? So that's, one of the takeaways was that really some checks and balances needed for the MOF Inc. that has become a super entity in the past few decades.
And I think one of the greatest manifestation of this problem is really 1MDB, which the issue now is reverberating globally. Singapore has seized the 240 million Sing dollars in the 1MDB probe, and three major banks have been fingered. In fact, not only fingered, but explicitly stated that there were control failings in these banks. DBS, which is really a significant domestic Singaporean bank owned by Singapore's own very own GLICs, right? The Temasek's of the world. And the other two are Standard Chartered and UBS themselves, global banks.
Yeah, I mean, that's one area. But, you know, since we're on the topic of the role of government in business, which is a favourite topic of ours, let's look at Malaysia Airlines. Because, of course, you cannot deny the role of government in business when it comes to our national carrier. And the best thing is, we have someone from Malaysia Airlines on the breakfast grill today. It's the newly appointed CEO, Peter Bellew. So after the dramatic exit of Christoph Mueller from the national carrier, today let's find out the updates of what is in store for Malaysia Airlines. We will have him on the breakfast grill. Koo Soo Chong will be speaking to him. That's coming up in less than 10 minutes.
I think he proposed, Peter Bellew has proposed a very radical business model, which is to say that Malaysia Airlines is not necessarily 100% a full-service airline. And this is really a detraction from the past, right? And a kind of abandonment of a kind of national identity, right? The focus now is really to make money for Malaysia Airlines, and the competitive landscape is going to be so interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Speaking of the competitive landscape in aviation, Malindo Air has inked a bilateral interline agreement with Qatar Airways. So maybe they're looking for better connectivity from international flights, and then you just hop onto a domestic flight to get to your destination.
This is all about tying up and befriending the international hubs like Dubai and Doha. Doha is under Qatar. And we know that, again, going back to Malaysia Airlines, they have tied up with Emirates in their co-sharing agreement. And now Malindo is becoming a force to be reckoned with by tying also with Qatar. Same region, same hub status, which will only benefit the consumers at the end of the day.
On top of all this, right, the icing on the cake is that there will be a new airline joining the airspace as well. Swasa Air, a newly established local carrier, they plan to make their first flight today from KLIA to Langkawi. And I think, you know, as much as the telcos or the telco industry is very constricted, I mean, is benefiting the consumers, I think I'm seeing the same parallel here in the aviation sector as well.
I have never heard of this airline, Swasa Air. What is it? What airline is this?
Right, so the CEO is Jabarullah Abdul Kadir. He is the executive secretary of the Malaysian Airlines Employees Union. And MEVCOM have said, this is the Malaysian Aviation Commission, have said as of 2 days ago, the airline has not been granted a valid air service. So my question is, are they flying legally?
Yeah, well, according to the news report, they could be, but you know what worries me is the safety issue. I just hope that all this mushrooming of new airlines just doesn't result in profit for profit's sake, right? The government has to step in to ensure that all the safety measures are fulfilled and so that before they're even given the license.
Okay, well, let's continue our discussion on airlines and the aviation sector with Peter Bellew, the newly appointed CEO of Malaysia Airlines. He will be on The Breakfast Grill. That is coming up after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. That's next, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.